testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Continue these studies in Ephesians 6, and we're well into all of this, and I believe the Lord is revealing quite a lot about this that we need to learn, and as he's equipping us for these last days in order that we may stand and overcome. And we're calling our teachings, as you know, stand fast in the power of his might. Stand fast in the power of his might. And we're going to look at verse 16 today, which says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts. And we'll just lead into some of this to prepare ourselves. Remember in verse 14, he said, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that, of course, is all down on tape that we spoke on last time, because we need to move on with this. I believe the Lord revealed quite a bit about that armour last time and how spiritually this works in our life. But all of this is a tremendous insight into the spiritual world. And we're always a bit on our guard with regard to that, because it's sort of, the spiritual world is sort of, spiritists and the occult, they're all involved in that sort of thing. Sounds very New Agey to me, But that is precisely what God is teaching us. And that is why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we must not be put off by this. If the enemy is teaching those poor victims what he's showing them, well, how much more us who have the Spirit of truth, and we have the Holy Spirit? We have to have our eyes open to this in the last days. And if God cannot reveal this to the overcomers, then who can he reveal this to? Because we know, sadly, most of our brothers and sisters are running away at this. They're burying their heads in the sand. And they're going to be a prime target to the Antichrist when he comes on the scene. And as Jesus said in the word, if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. So he's cutting a very fine line here with regard to what he says here. So this world that we're talking about, this spiritual world, that Satan doesn't want you to know. He's quite happy to deceive those who have these familiar spirits. He'll deceive them, but he doesn't want us to know how he attacks and how he tries to destroy. That he doesn't want us to see. But we are being shown this in these last days. And we have to learn about this whole armour of God. Now, of course, this part of Scripture has been taught for centuries. There's nothing new in what I'm sharing here. What is new is if we are prepared to obey and yield to what this reveals. It is one thing to listen to it and maybe to assimilate it theologically, but it is quite another thing to enter into the experience of the whole armour of God. And as I've been preparing these over the weeks and whatever, I believe the Lord impresses to me that few believers really enter in. I believe the Apostle Paul could only reveal this, like everything he did in, that we have in Scripture. He had to experience this. He had to have his eyes open to this. He couldn't have been inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this otherwise. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's living in a time when he was aware of the Romans and Roman soldiers and centurions. And so God used these things so often, like he did, to show the deeper meaning, the analogy of all of this. And so the gospel, as we know, is to open the eyes of the blind. And that's precisely what he's doing. He has come to open the eyes of the blind. And it is wrong to remain blind if you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And in order to be able to see, what does he do? He starts to remove that fear. Because it is that fear that will hold us still into that blindness. And that is why God won't let fear triumph in our lives. Because we know where fear comes. We know what the nature of fear is. God's revealed so much about fear over the years. And indeed, if you are oppressed by fear, you will not experience the unity and oneness. It hinders the love of God, that fear. So the enemy knows what he's doing. He's not stupid. So the gospel is to open the eyes of the blind. And Jesus, he accused, didn't he, the Pharisees, the religious people, because he said, "You're blind leaders of the blind." And that was their problem. They were trying to correct and put everyone right and bring them under the law, the bondage of the law, but they excluded themselves from that and they used their position as a result of that. And Jesus, of course, many times prophesied the woes over them. And he said, "You're nothing but you're blind leaders of the blind." Do we live in conditions like that today? We do. How do we know? Well, Revelation 3:17 tells us. And this is the tragedy of what we have today. And sadly, even amongst professing charismatics who can even speak in tongues. Revelation 3, verse 17. The lukewarm church. We know what church that is, the Laodicean. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What a statement. What a statement the Spirit is saying to the contemporary church, much of it that we know today in these last days. And it is a fact. And one of the things that he says is the problem, he says, you're blind. And that is why they, sadly, cannot be of any use with regard to warfare. Why God even wouldn't even put them in a situation. I mean, he's not going to even put them into a place of warfare because they're blind. And their blindness is spiritual pride. That's their problem. Because he says there, doesn't he? He says, you think you're wealthy. Mm-hmm. Well, you have. You've probably got wealth. Yeah. You've got a good income coming in. And they do. Many of them are tithing and you name it. They're little empires. But he goes on the words there. You're poor. You're actually poor. You're wretched. You're miserable. You're blind. You're naked. Mm-hmm. And nakedness, that's scary. Because what is that indicating? They haven't the robes of righteousness. Mm-hmm. There's something missing. They are religious. How dare you say we're religious? We're charismatic. Why, we have a band. We have a song leader. We've got at least 2,000 come. We've got cell groups. You name it, we've got everything going. As far as God still sees it, still religion. It's just wrapped up differently. Why? Because there's nothing new under the sun. So, it is important how we see. And this is the state of so much of Christendom. So the challenge to the overcomer and the challenge to FGA as well is, as it says in here, let's just go back to this, in verse 18 of chapter 3, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Oh, starts off with gold. And to get gold, you have to pay a lot for it. And what is the cost? The refining. That you may be rich, spiritually rich, and white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And that's what it takes. And that's what this takes for the armour of God. Else God can't use you. It can't. And that's what he's doing with us. Because this battle that we are prepared and we're going into is very real. Very real. Now, I love words, as you know. And he says that word counsel, I counsel you. It actually means to deliberate. It means to go to a consultant. Get some advice. Or as they say today, go to a lawyer. Get a lawyer. And that's the warning. That's what he's saying to this Laodicean church. I counsel you. Get advice. Get sound advice. You need it. You're in trouble. That's what it means. I counsel you to buy. And this is what you have to get. Obviously, it's all against compromise. And that's what he's talking about, counselling them to buy. So we see back in verse 16 then of Ephesians, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So above all, we've already been speaking about, you know, the nature of the armour. We've been speaking about what we're warring against and everything. And then he uses this word here, and above all, taking the shield of faith. So everything, you know, is important, but I'm making an emphasis here, above all. In other words, it means we're going to make a comparison. Let's just turn to Matthew 4 and verse 4. Matthew 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here is this idea of above all. Because we're going to deal with the shield, the sword, above all. You don't live just by bread alone, as much as we like. Yes, a nice meal. But your spiritual food is the most important. And we need always to have that right heart and attitude toward that. That is the most important thing of our life as an overcomer. Everything else, where our comforts, creature comforts are concerned, comes secondary to the Word of God. And that's why you get this emphasis above all, taking this shield of faith. So taking this shield of faith, the sword is to be carried, this shield of faith, the word. And we're going to be looking at the sword, which is part of the armour. And it's interesting, the sword must be worn all the time. You never remove the sword. In ancient times, soldiers and that, they always had the sword there. Even when they slept or whatever it is, that sword never missed their side. Was always there, ready, 24/7. So we see faith is presented as a shield. And this shield is protecting us, what for? From all these fiery darts of the wicked one. You see, so often the enemy tries to weaken us through fear and unbelief. They are the two major areas that he attacks, is through fear and unbelief. And they are those fiery darts. And only this shield of faith, can deal with fear and unbelief. You see, this shield is large. It's a large one. It's the largest thing that we carry. And we know, we've had it much in teaching over the years, that this shield is slightly oval and it's from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, completely covers you. That's what it is. That's what we're talking about here. And so this shield is primarily dealing with this fear and this unbelief. It's the largest thing that we carry. It's protecting the whole body. So when all these darts come at different angles, you are there, it's able, because it's slightly curved, it's protecting the whole body, because no dart comes by the same. They come in different ways, different times, different angles, and so on. That's the nature of these darts. And so you have to protect yourself first if you are going to be of any use. If you want to be an overcomer, you want to be in this army, you have to protect yourself. And nobody can do that for you. It is obedience. It is doing it how God shows us. And then you will see the effectiveness of this shield and how it's working, particularly with regard to fear and unbelief. You have to protect yourself. This is absolutely important. The shield was never to be removed. Again, it's part of the armor. It is there. Some of the armor you can remove temporarily, but the shield can never be removed. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. 24/7. Always. And one of Satan's weapons that he uses, one of the fiery darts that he's using, particularly in these closing days, as we are in the school of preparation where it seems as though very little is happening, one of the fiery darts that he has been attacking, and I know as a pastor with FGA, is discouragement.
Yeah.
He's if there's anything that I have looked at over the years, it's been in the area of discouragement. Because when you are discouraged, you raise questions. You start to doubt. You take your eyes off the goal. And he knows how to do this when there's no action, there's nothing happened. All is quiet and everything. But it is in those conditions that God can get our attention. God doesn't make a mistake. This is where he's able to teach us about this armor, and indeed he is. If we were so caught up in works and ministry, I am not sure we would learn about this armor.
Mm.
Because this is paramount to the last days. This is very instrumental with regard to the overcomers and how indeed the bride is making herself ready. So here it is, above all then, taking the shield of faith, because we walk by faith and not by sight, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts. So our faith with that shield, our faith, our belief in the word of God, the promises of God, is that shield in operation. And when we are not always believing and embracing these promises, we're battling these promises, that is a clear sign the shield isn't doing its job. Because it's called the shield of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, as the word of God says. So where there is unbelief, if there is unbelief in my life, what is the problem? What is causing that unbelief? There's a problem with my shield. Because that shield is quenching those fiery darts of unbelief from the enemy. And all Jesus ever said is just a mustard seed of faith. So he's merciful to us. And there are times when we've all done it, haven't we, where we've said, you know, I can believe in this area, but when it comes to this, I battle. I just don't understand. I can believe for this. I can believe my brother and sister. I can pray for her healing, his healing. When it comes to me, it seems as like it's in a brick wall. It's the shield. God's still working that shield. And much of that shield is that you need to look at it. You need to see what it is. You need to see how big it is, how it's protecting you and its purpose. And you need to use it, and it needs to be working in your life 24/7. The trouble is you're putting it down sometimes. Give me a break. Give me a rest. Oh, and I know that one. We're all guilty of that one, but we can't. Soldiers are not being trained to do that. And the Lord's training us. He's teaching us. And I believe the time we're finished when we get through these studies, we're not going to ever want to put any of this down ever again. Whatever it takes, Lord, just keep it operative. Keep it moving. So, the shield of faith, which is able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And this shield of faith is operative with the Word of God, that sword of the Spirit. And that is why faith is inspired by the Word of God. That's why we make so much that faith comes by hearing, reading this Word. It's inspired because this Word, the sword of this Spirit, is inspiring, is quickening us, keeping us alert, showing us where the weaknesses lie. That's why the Word of God is so important, because the Word of God exposes those weaknesses. You know, so often you can sit in a meeting, I've experienced, and suddenly it's like the lights come on. I can see my problem. The Lord's put his finger right on that. I can see this now. That's what this sword is supposed to do. That's why I love the Word of God. That's why I love these meetings. This is why you cannot beat live meetings like this, where we come under the presence of the Lord and the anointing. Mm, yes. This is how we grow. This is how he gets our attention to hear and so on. Absolutely important. So, we mustn't quench the Spirit in any way. And the anointing, the unction of the Spirit, is in nature to where there's any problems, where there's any quenching of the Spirit, where there's any compromise in the Word, he comes to release, to deal with all of that, so that we are in the liberty and freedom of the presence of the Lord. Because that's how you grow. And this is why the enemy has got such a footing in so many of these churches, and particularly through shepherdship, which we know, this quenches the precious Holy Spirit so that these saints can be freed, release. You know, as a pastor, I see this. I get so burdened with that one. This idea of quench means to strife, to suppress. That's what it means. And so this is why we come against all of these fiery darts. Let's look at Matthew 12 and verse 20. Matthew 12 and verse 20. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. And that's his nature. That's how he works. That's why God fights. There's warfare going on all the time. There's warfare going on over this meeting, this gathering. If our eyes were to be opened, there are demons trying to stop it happening all the time. And praise God, we've got this armour there. You see, the nature of this armour is not a burden. Yes, you know, you've got it on, the armour had weight to it. But they were trained for that. They were trained to be able to carry it. And we are being trained for this armour, which in nature is not a burden. And the enemy is very good at saying, you're never going to understand this. You're never going to enter into all of this. You're far too passive in nature and everything. He wants you to feel the burden of it, the problem, you know? And it isn't. It isn't at all. And we will see this as we more and more are used with this armour. We're going to see the victory that is wrought and won by this, not only individually, but corporately. So don't believe any of these lies that the enemy has, you see. And so our faith turns these fiery darts and turns them back to the enemy. Because they've got to go somewhere. So there's nothing like reversing these fiery darts back to the one who sent them. That's a bit of a shock, isn't it? Huh? You see, our faith, brothers and sisters, delivers us from these fears and these emotions, what these darts do. These fears, these emotions are all part of these fiery darts that the enemy tries to work. As I said last few weeks ago, these emotions, fears, so often lead us into sin. And that's what he's delivering us from. That we remain constantly in the presence of the Lord all the time. You see, he uses these darts, as I've said, for doubt, for confusion. And what does this do? These doubts and these confusions always take your eyes off the Word of God and the sword of the Spirit. It no longer lets you have that sword that you should have by your side. The enemy knows where he's trying to remove parts of these armour from us. You see? And praise God, this is why when we go through these trials or whatever it is, and you just say, Lord, I feel terrible. You know, I don't know what is happening. It's like everything is just caving around me. But I have this armour. And whatever is going on, it is not going to be removed in Jesus' name. And sometimes you have to speak that out to the powers of darkness. Sometimes you just have to speak it to yourself. You need to hear yourself saying it, because it can look so real, all of this, sometimes, what the enemy tries to throw at us. Well, let's move on with this, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we've already been stressing parts of the sword of the Spirit. So firstly, let's take the helmet of salvation. Well, this was a cap made out of leather and was often added with it metal to reinforce this helmet of salvation. And the metal was obviously to strengthen it. And then after it was strengthened with metal, often then a plume or some form of decoration was placed upon this helmet. And of course, this was always for identification or what regiment you belong to. And of course, they follow these principles today as well. So, salvation. Helmet. The plume that we wear is the salvation. I am a new creation in Christ. That is what it speaks to us. That I am identified. I have identification with Jesus Christ. That is my helmet that I wear. And of course, the helmet protects the whole armour of God. You may say to me, well, I thought the shield does. It does. All of it is, but the helmet is the most important part of the armour. Because the helmet is closest to the heart and the mind. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that is why our minds, our hearts are being renewed. we are under circumcision, being changed. And where does the enemy attack? He attacks with the mind. So this helmet of salvation is absolutely paramount. Because if you're not in right mind and thinking, you're going to put down your shield, you're going to put down your sword, you're going to do whatever it is. The mind governs the whole armour. The mind is telling you, don't put your shield down. The mind is telling you, hold on to the sword. Because that's how we think. That's how we operate. And that is where God has to first get our attention into the mind, into the heart. That's why I always believe that there has to be that faith there to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many purport today that now you make confession first, then faith follows after. No, I don't believe that's scriptural. And we know that faith is a gift anyway, that God has given it to us. So this helmet is the assurance of our salvation. It is the assurance of victory. If you haven't that helmet on, what assurance have you got? You can't pick up the sword, you can't pick up that shield if you haven't got the helmet on. And that is why God says what he says to the Laodicean church. You've got it all round the wrong way. You think you've got this armour on. You sing all these victory songs. But hang on, you need the helmet. And that helmet is salvation. That helmet tells you what army you belong to. By its plumage. But it also tells us that God will triumph. Amen. And that's why our minds have to be renewed. As we know in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Where you present yourself. You place yourself on that order. For the purpose that you may discern, you may know the will of God. That's what it's doing. But this helmet also helps us to prepare. The helmet, this salvation, helps us to practice. It helps us to practice with the sword thrusts. Just like they did in the arenas, where they trained. They trained, with the sword and everything to fight. So that helmet of salvation, the new birth, enables us to be able to work with that sword, the sword of the Spirit, to know how to place those thrusts. As I said in the beginning of the opening of this, the whole thing of this is spiritual in nature. And that's what he's teaching us. We have to be spirit taught. Flesh and blood cannot reveal this. Only the Spirit of God can reveal. He can teach. He can show you how to war against the powers of darkness. And he has given his name and the blood of the Lamb that we overcome by this. That is why I am such a stickler. That we have to be taught by the Spirit in these days. Because flesh and blood cannot teach you this. You see, he makes the word alive for us. Hence the right attacks and the thrusts of the sword. That's what the deeper life is in nature. He's showing you how to wield that word against the powers of darkness. It is written, Satan. Reminds us of our Lord, tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. He knew the sword of the Spirit and came against the powers of darkness. But the sword takes practice. And the final way, then the fiery darts to teach you and to use the Word of God. And how do we practice with the armour of God? You say to me, oh, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying, but I mean, how do we apply all of this and everything? Thank God for verse 18. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Here it is. In other words, the armour is effective, in its application if you have a prayer life. And that's why I've always said, a prayer life is a wonderful recognition of the spiritual temperature of a saint. 9 times out of 10, in counselling I have found over the years, when I start to hear or whatever comes, you know, whatever it is, I then say, what is your prayer life like? And that often tells me the problem. Why they're having problems. Because what he speaks about here in verse 18 is every kind of prayer. That's what it is. Whether it's in the spirit, whether it's open prayer, a joyful prayer, a prayer of exhortation, a thankful prayer, a prayer of pleading, a prayer for mercy, fervent prayers, groaning in the spirit prayers. Just pray. Pray without ceasing. In other words, in that attitude. Because that is what makes the armour effective. You see? You can't separate any of this. This is what makes it. And what I love here, and so encouraging, supplications for all the saints. Brothers and sisters, we are here today, and those in the room, because of prayer. Because we pray one for another. We supplicate. We pray in the Spirit. We are using the armour. We are putting that shield up sometimes for the weak who are going through a trial. Lord, they're having problems with their shield, but here's my shield. And I'll quench those fiery darts. And if it means prayer, supplication or fasting, I'm willing to do it. So that my sister, my brother, doesn't perish. That's the love, that's the unity he's placing in our hearts. And that armour is so effective. I stand here today preaching because of your prayers, your intercessions for me. I am so aware of this. This is why I keep saying we're an army together, wonderfully united, fit together by the Holy Spirit. And this is why he says my house is a house of prayer. And we must not stop in this. And that's why in our prayers we pray for this word. The Apostle Paul wasn't too proud to ask for that. Please pray that a word of entry be found, that doors will be opened. Same principle. We need to pray for this in the last day. This word has to go forth. The enemy is fighting against this deeper life teaching. He is fearful of this. And here it is. We've got the victory every time. But how can we lose when we see all of this? And what he's given. You know? And who's the one that fights in the end anyway? It's the Lord. He raises up that standard. That banner of victory.
Glory.
Mighty God.
And if the enemy's on your back, you can be well assured the Lord's only giving him a season.
Mm.
Mm.
And you're not going to destroy her. You're not going to destroy him. You see? So, you know, we have everything to gain with this. We really, really do. So take that helmet of salvation. Be proud of it. Don't be afraid of proclaiming the gospel of good news. It is our helmet of salvation and that sword of the Spirit, that word that we are being weaned upon, and we are mightily, mightily blessed in FGA. A wealth of teaching. You know? And the irony of all of this is that so many who once used to come here, who don't come here anymore, yes, they've got problems, or they've got problems with me, but this is amazing. But they do preach the word there, though. That often comes out. I've heard this. They do preach the word there, though. But they've got problems, you know, or whatever it is. Isn't it sad? And yet, it's the very word that is our food, is the manna. You know? But you see, some just don't see it. The Laodicean don't see it. It's the cost. It's the cost. But there we are. We have the wonderful privilege to pray, to intercede.
Amen.
And I pray for all of those that once we used to fellowship with, who once shared and whatever. You intercede, you pray for them. You have that armour where you stand. And you be part of quenching those fiery darts. That they can get that deliverance in their mind. Because that's where they're being attacked, oppressed, in the mind. And we all know that. We've all gone through that. You know, where you just think, gosh, I feel as I'm going insane. You know, my mind. It's a battlefield, you know. I've gone through it. You know, you cry out, Lord, enough, I can't take any more. And praise God, he's there. And suddenly that peace comes. And you can see again. You can see again. It's because he loves us. This is his love message to us. You know, I'm getting sentimental all sweet now, but it is. It is. You know, if God doesn't bear his heart, his love out, but this bride who's making herself ready, then I don't know who else he can do. Well, we know you've got the Songs of Solomon. They're all there. They're all there. But he will not have this work destroyed.
That's right.
And this is why I take time over all of this, to stand fast in the power of his might. And as I started with all of this, whose armour is it in? Put on the armour of Kim Page? No, God. Put me on. I am your protection. I am your armour. I am your shield. I am your sword. That's what makes this all so personal. And this takes the stripe away from it all. That I had to try, you know. And so forth. It isn't about trying. It's about believing.
Yes.
That's all he ever asks. And then as he shows us, instead of fighting him, we yield over to the Spirit and let him do it. You know, the hardest thing is when we meet these trials is to say nothing and do nothing. It is. I'm being tested at the moment in that one. You know. You want to say something and, you know, everything is there and you know exactly the right words to say. These are the words they need to hear. God says you don't say anything. Not a word. Now, why is he doing that? Because he's teaching you this armour. That is what is more effective. Not your words. Not what you think you know, or whatever it is. There is a time to speak. And there's a time to remain quiet. We know all of that. But he takes us through courses in our training. And for a season, he can be dealing with your tongue.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know that. He's doing that with me. He is surely doing that with me, because I know I can give a good blasting. Yeah. I know. But I also know that armour then is not working.
Mm.
I'm allowing those fiery darts in.
Yeah.
And you know, after you've done it, when you've said what you've said, you've lost your peace, it's on your mind, and you're trying to justify yourself in your heart. Well, I was writing what I said and everything, and in the end, after a couple of days, I can't take this anymore. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. I should have kept quiet. And suddenly that peace is there. That peace. See? Oh, praise God. I'm glad I'm not the only one who goes through this. But this is where he's working. And why is he honing in on these certain areas? Because he's teaching you this armour. This is your training. And we all need training in certain areas. This is how they trained these gladiators and these centurions. They watched them. They saw strong points and weak points. And so they worked on these areas. And God does exactly the same with us. We've all got strength, areas of strength and areas of weakness.
Yeah.
And where you are strong and you see your brother or sister is weak, don't have that attitude. Well, I can't understand why she's got a problem in that area. I haven't. Well, praise God you haven't. But she has. So you supplicate, you get in prayer. Because we're all different. We all come out of different environments, different situations. We were under different powers, principalities, controls. Our families are all different. We're a product of our generations in family. And where does the sword come? Right down on it. I separate you from the third and fourth generation.
Hallelujah.
That is our deliverance. This is why I always keep saying the deeper life is deliverance in nature. You can never be the same every time you come and you listen and come under the anointing of the Word of God. It's miraculous. This is what makes these meetings and our whole walk supernatural. Because it cannot happen in the natural. It's impossible. Impossible. Well, praise God, there we are. Again, stand fast in the power of his might. We're coming towards the end of this now, but Lord willing, maybe one more teaching on this. And I want to speak next time with regard to what we're warring against and these fiery darts. And most of these fiery darts are demonic. They are demons.
Yeah.
And we need to know a little about the activity of demons, what we're up against.
Yeah.
We need to be sensitive to their manifestation, because we know that they use people to manifest themselves, and they are diverse in many ways, and the Lord is going to make us very sensitive to the awareness of demons for the purpose of taking authority over them.
Amen.
Because he's going to get us to exercise what we've learned. It isn't just going to be a study and filling our heads with more theology. Oh, no. We've got to apply this. We've got to apply this because Jesus has given the command to the church, one of them of which is to cast out demons.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And a quarter of Jesus' ministry was casting out demons.
Amen.
So, you know, this is why the enemy doesn't like this. But praise God. Praise God. I don't know about you, but something stirs within me. Rises up. Enough. Enough. Hallelujah. Father, we are so grateful today. Lord, we are just so aware you love us so much and you're encouraging us so much, And you are showing us, Lord, that none of this lies in our strength, our ability, our intellect. It's simply believing and just yielding over to that which we believe and not resisting and fighting. Father, we thank you that you are so loving and so caring, so attentive, and you are watching us. And you know those areas that you are training us in. You're making us strong, Lord, in you. And this is what is so wonderful, Father. You are the greatest teacher. And we have nothing to fear. And Lord, it's been a privilege today to be able to come together and with my brothers and sisters online to just come into your presence as your family. And Lord, I pray you'll be with us, bless, preserve and always keep us. Be with us when we go out and when we come in. Father, may we be mindful of that wonderful Psalm, Psalm 91, where you give your angels charge over us. Lord, where you renew our youth like the eagles, that by your stripes we were healed at Calvary. And whatever the enemy is throwing at us, what he's trying to afflict us in, his days are numbered. We are rising up, not in our own strength or emotions, but by the Spirit of the living God. And you are preparing us, Lord, for the latter rain, that double portion of the last days. Father, we thank you for this now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, he is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon. Bye.